Okay, so get ready to dig in today as we unearth this fascinating corner of geotechnical engineering. Jet grouting. Have you ever heard of it?
It's not exactly a common dinner table topic.
Right. But the research you sent us on how AI is being used in this field, that's what we're really digging into today, and particularly the data challenges.
And it's a really clever use of AI because jet grouting itself, it can be a bit unpredictable.
Yeah, our sources describe it as like blasting this mix of water and cement into the ground, and it's like with incredible force, right? And that creates these solid columns. They can actually hold up structures and stabilize slopes. They can even prevent landslides.
Pretty impressive stuff.
Yeah, heroic, right? But then there's this variability in the column diameters that our sources talk about. Like even when engineers follow like the exact same process, why is that? It's almost like, you're baking a cake and using the same recipe, but it comes out a little different each time.
Yeah, it really comes down to the environment. Think about it. Blasting these cement columns through solid rock versus loose sand, two completely different things. So many factors play a role, like soil type, how dense it is, even the grain size.
Oh, wow.
And then you've got the energy used in the jet grouting itself. More energy, potentially wider columns.
Okay, so lots of variables at play.
Yeah.
It makes sense that it would be difficult to predict exactly how those columns are going to form every time, but how does that unpredictability create a problem when you bring AI into the mix?
Well, you can think of AI as an apprentice
Right.
learning a new skill. To really master it, they need tons of practice, tons of data. And in this case, that would be data from past jet grouting projects. So details about the soil, the methods used, the final column diameters, all of it.
So the AI could like learn from experience and then use that to make predictions about future projects, like what size columns you need in a certain location.
Exactly.
But if that real-world data is all over the place, well,
Yeah.
how reliable can those predictions be?
Right. It's like trying to learn how to bake from a recipe book where all the measurements are a bit off.
Exactly. So how do you get around that?
Well, that's the challenge at the heart of this research you sent. How do you get enough data to train AI for jet grouting when it's so expensive and time-consuming to collect it in the real world? The researchers found a way to basically fill in the gaps using something called data augmentation.
Okay, hold on. This is where it gets really interesting for me. Creating data out of thin air. Data augmentation magic. I'm all ears.
Well, a big part of that magic is something called Copulis.
Copulous.
And no, it's not some fancy Italian espresso maker.
Okay, good to know.
Think of Copulis more like relationship mapping tools. They help us understand and then recreate how different factors like soil type and column diameter are connected, even when those relationships are super complicated.
So it's not just about saying, here's some soil data and here's some column diameter data. It's about understanding the connection between them.
Exactly. It's about capturing those relationships to make the synthetic data as true to life as possible. And that's not all. They took things a step further to ensure that synthetic data was reliable, almost like adding a quality control check.
A quality control check for data. Now, this is what I call a deep dive. Tell me more. How do they fine-tune synthetic data to be extra realistic? What did they do? A quality control check for data. Now, this is what I call a deep dive. Tell me more. How do they fine-tune synthetic data to be extra realistic? What did they do?
It's like, you know, when you get a data set and statistically all the numbers make sense, but something feels a little off.
Yeah, like finding a perfect banana in a bunch of overripe ones. You're like, statistically, this is possible, but.
Exactly. And especially with something like jet grouting, where safety and stability are so critical, even a statistically possible outlier could be a huge problem if it doesn't reflect what's actually happening in the real world.
Right.
So that's why they developed a system called GRD. It basically acts as a meticulous editor for their synthetic data.
Create. I like it. Okay, so how does it work? How does it spot those sneaky outliers?
So imagine it like imagine Dryad with two different magnifying glasses,
Okay.
each one revealing a different aspect of the data.
But
One is called the isolation forest, and that helps identify those data points that are just different.
different how?
If you had a basket of apples and one orange, the orange would stand out.
Right.
So outliers in a data set, those are the
Okay,
oranges.
that makes sense.
Yeah.
What about the second magnifying glass?
Right. So the second tool GRAID uses is something called the Mahalanobis distance.
The Mahalanobis distance.
Yeah, it's a bit more on the mathematical side,
Okay.
but essentially it measures how far a data point is from the average, but it takes into account the overall spread and shape of the data.
So it's like a bird's eye view of the whole data landscape.
Exactly.
Okay, so you can spot those outliers, even if they're kind of hidden within the normal spread. But what happens once GR80 identifies those outliers? Do they just hit the delete button?
Not necessarily. It's not always about deleting them. It's about understanding why those outliers are there. So instead of just getting rid of them, they use their knowledge of actual jet grouting to kind of gently nudge those data points back into a more realistic range.
Okay, so it's like a fine-tuning process. You take these raw synthetic data points and then you polish them up. So they're not just statistically sound, but they actually reflect real-world conditions.
Yes.
But how do they know for sure that their synthetic data is a good substitute? How do you test that?
Well, that's where they got really clever. They used a tool called EPR, which stands for Evolutionary Polynomial Regression.
Okay.
To examine the relationships between all these different variables. Think of it like, think of EPR like a detective trying to uncover a secret formula.
Okay.
That explains how everything's connected.
All right, break it down for me. How does EPR actually help them figure out if the synthetic data is a good representation of real-world jet grouting?
So, first they take the original real-world data, and they use EPR to create a set of equations, sort of like mathematical fingerprints,
okay,
that describe the relationships between, you know, soil type, energy used, column diameter.
Right.
Then they take the synthetic data, run it through the same process, and create another set of equations. And then by comparing those two sets of fingerprints,
they can see how closely they match up.
Yeah, it's a way of saying, okay, our synthetic data isn't just statistically similar, but it actually behaves like real-world data.
So if the fingerprints match, they know they're on the right track. What did they find?
The results were actually really impressive. But before we get into that, let's talk about how they put this augmented data to the test. They wanted to see, does it actually improve the AI's predictions?
Right, because that's the whole point,
yeah,
right?
No.
So how'd they do it? What kind of AI models are we talking about here? Give me the contenders in this data-driven showdown. Give me the contenders in this data-driven showdown.
So they decided to test out two different AI models, kind of like, you know, pitting a seasoned pro against a rising star.
I like it.
Okay. So in one corner, you have the multilayer perceptron.
Now what?
MLP, for short.
Okay.
It's a classic neural network, been around for a while, known for its ability to learn those complex patterns from data.
Right.
It's like that veteran chef.
Okay.
Who can whip up these incredible dishes just from experience, you know, knowing how all the ingredients work together.
Right, right. So the MLP is our veteran chef, relying on experience, intuition, got it. Who's the competition?
That would be the Wide and Deep Network, or WAD.
Would be.
Okay, right. Yeah. And that one's a newer type of AI model, gaining popularity because it can handle these massive data sets, you know, make very precise predictions.
So it's like the chef who uses all the latest gadgets and molecular gastronomy to create those culinary masterpieces.
Exactly.
All right, so we've got our contenders. What's on the menu for this AI cook-off? How did they test these models?
Well, first they gave both models the original real-world jet grouting data, just to get a baseline.
Okay, like learning the ropes.
Exactly. And then they started adding in the synthetic data, gradually increasing the amount. And that's where it gets really interesting. So both models, they actually got better at predicting column diameters as they were fed more synthetic data.
That's what you'd expect, right?
Right. But what really surprised them was how well that simpler MLP model performed.
You're saying the MLP, the veteran chef, kept up with the WAD, even with all the fancy data gadgets.
Exactly.
Okay, so what's the takeaway here?
Well, it shows the power of high-quality data. You know, sometimes having really good data, even if you don't have a massive amount of it, that can be more important than just using a really complex model.
So it's not just about the quantity of data, it's the quality.
Exactly. It's like having a small pantry of really fresh, high-quality ingredients versus a huge pantry full of processed stuff.
I like that analogy. So feeding an AI model with this carefully crafted synthetic data, it's almost like giving it a gourmet meal.
Exactly.
Instead of just fast food, right?
Right. Yeah.
It can actually learn better and make more accurate predictions, even with a simpler recipe.
Yeah.
This has been such an eye-opening deep dive today. We started with this niche technique, jet grouting.
Yeah.
And we've ended up, you know, uncovering this fundamental truth about AI and data.
What's really cool is that this approach, creating this high-quality synthetic data to train AI, it's not limited to just jet grouting.
Yeah.
It could be used in any field where data is scarce or expensive to collect.
Right.
I mean, think about things like medical diagnoses, climate modeling.
Wow. Yeah, it seems like the future of AI might be less about, you know, bigger, fancier models and more about smarter, more creative ways of harnessing the power of data.
Absolutely.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
And on that note, I think we'll wrap up this deep dive. Hopefully you, our listeners, have learned a little bit more about this hidden power of data.
Absolutely.
And the potential that's unlocked when human ingenuity meets data science.